Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Should I start things off?
Yes, please.
Okay. Out of all the franchises you guys have, like be it a book franchise, be it a game franchise, film franchise, blah, 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 what would you say is the most toxic, like, when it comes to the fan base?
Oh, God. Jeez. Oh.
Just in your opinion. It's not like a wrong or right answer or anything.
MCU universe.
Damn.
Oh, really? Nah, DC.
Bloody
actually,
hell.
No. You know what? No. Hey, I think like whoa. Wait. Can we keep gaming?
Yeah, go gaming.
What? COD.
COD.
Call of Duty. Yeah, okay. Call of Duty.
So okay.
Call
okay.
of Duty. No, I think Call of Duty are far more toxic.
Okay. Sean's saying Call of Duty. Big man saying the MCU.
The MCU.
I probably say MCU or out of push Star Wars.
Okay.
What about your opinion, bro?
The Bible. You want to start?
Wow! Wow! Mic drop. Bam! 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 Like that. Woo! God damn it!
No. Woo! Expecting.
Well, I can't even just stop talking. Well done. What? Look, I even had to move the microphone. Welcome to, and that's why we messed up the podcast, talking about nerdery, geekism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. Just Blaze, bruv, coming out the gate. I can't even. I take it all back. Bruv's right. Welcome. That stunned me. That was a Hayokin. I felt that in my whole... That was a little Hayokin, but bruv brings the heat. This year, I've got to say, 2022 with bro so far. The best is yet to come, because my God, you've been fantastic. But, big man, how you doing? You all right? You okay?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm still getting over that.
That winded us straight to the wind out. But, bro, I can't. That's up there with how with in the last season when I said the stop clock's right twice a day. And brother's like... But it is. Oh, dear. Hope you're all safe out there. And I'm going to pass the mic back to bruv, because it's your week this week. How do you come off the back of that? I'm now intrigued.
Let's see. Well, it is kind of close to what I'm going to talk about, but it's going to be a mixed bag. It's not like any particular... Well, it's going to be a mixed bag in general. Like... And it's gonna be. It might be slightly controversial as well, because I got a feeling people are gonna get angry or get or disagree or whatever. But psh, whatever.
That's okay.
But it's gonna be a mixture of. For example, Big Man, who's winning the fight, Doctor Doom or Magneto?
Oh. Two of my favourites, I would have to impartial and probably say Magneto.
Why Magneto?
I think where Doom is callous, Magneto thinks before. I would probably say, if it was a chess game, no pun intended, Magneto would win hands down.
Okay.
I'm having a flashback to a Captain America issue on the front cover. Red Skull is laid out cold and Magneto standing over him with a massive smile on his face, which is ironic because you can't even see his face in the front cover, but he's laughing at him. And that image has never left my head. And this is issue nearly 15 years old. And from then, I've always seen Magneto in a different light. But as everyone knows, Doom's my guy. But this one, I would have to say, Eric would win.
Okay. Sis, who's winning the fight? Jenny Sparks or Scarlet Witch?
I think Scarlet Witch would take it.
Why?
I think because of her ability to manipulate reality, I think she, and the abilities that she has, and the, I feel like, or because like Jenny Sparks is a spirit of, is a spirit of ages, whereas, yeah, whereas Scarlet Witch has the ability to manipulate literally what you're in, so she can, I could see her manipulating Jenny Sparks into a loop. Yeah, I think Scott would take it.
Okay. See, now, the reason why I've asked you these questions is because in this day and age, especially now, with like the power of social media, you have your TikToks, your Instagrams, whatever.
Yeah.
It's, you can't have, well, you can, but if you have an opinion that not everyone doesn't, or someone doesn't agree with, it's the worst thing you could do in the society. And that's a shame, because once upon a time ago, in this old Into the Void comic book shop, big shout out to Stratton. We used to hang about and talk about and talk about who win the fight, Superman or Goku, who win the fight, Black Bolt or Sentry, who win the fight, Spider-Man, Batman. You know, and it would be a conversation where we would look at their feats, what their abilities are, and blah blah blah. And then you can either agree, disagree. It's how, and but there's no hard feelings at the end of the day. Like, granted, when I was younger, I would take it. I would, you know, in my head, Black Bolt. No one could beat Black Bolt. That's just the way my head works. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day. But for example, the big talking point when it comes to these death matches or versus or whatever you want to call them is who's winning the fight? Superman, Goku.
Yeah.
Now, you know me. I'm a big Goku fan. Goku is my favorite anime. Like, I will defend him. People say he's a bad dad. He's not the best dad, but he ain't a bad dad. That's just how I stand. But Superman will win hands down due to one main reason. Feats that are canon in what and how he's written. No matter how you want to see it, regardless of their abilities or what they can do and what they have, like, when it comes to certain things that characters, the way of characters have been written and that are still technically a part of the canon, there's no beating that. And no matter how much of a fan of Goku I am, realistically, Goku has little feats compared to Superman, and Superman, and Superman will wipe the floor with him for, like, literally, man. There's a comic where Superman literally pulled the Earth. Granted, he had to help with Wonder Woman and a few others, but he was pulling the Earth. That's stupid. He was five galaxies away, like in another dimension. Jimmy Olsen pushed a button to call him. He was there in an instant. Like, that makes no sense, but those are things are canon to what he can do. And again, it just comes down to how certain communities will act when you go against their thing. It's like, you can't have, there are things you can, there are like people and programs and things that do have that reasonable conversation, reasonable argument, but when you go against that thing, that prime belief you have, you get verbally attacked, maybe get some racial abuse, threats on your life over a fictional character. Why?
I have an opinion.
Go for it.
I have an opinion.
Go for it.
I think it's a mixture of things, in my humble opinion, because I'm thinking about, like, obviously you and me growing up, and you Big Man as well with us, and I feel like when you're, sometimes the social media is literally like, it's just an echo of when you were 8 years old arguing and you took shit personal.
Yeah.
You took it like it was actually in your whole chest.
Mm.
And apart... Sorry? Oh, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, no. I thought we said something.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I feel like some of it is stuck. It's very much like on social media. I've noticed this as well, where it's like some people kind of stuck in that younger bit where they found the thing, they love the thing, they found a community who loved the thing, and they'll defend it to the absolute death. And any slight, and then they gatekeep it.
Mm-hmm.
Which then means they brigade it, and they also then say, have a kind of thing of, they want to feel that power of excluding people as well, while also defending the thing without realizing that it's like, that's immature. Like, the fact that I can say that Scarlet Witch v Jay Spots, I love both of them. I literally love both characters. I have the strengths and weaknesses of both characters because I'm not a child anymore.
Mm.
And I can see the strengths and weaknesses of some things. And also, because some people have put literally their whole personalities into liking these characters, it's almost like you've cussed their mum when you say, I don't like that though. How can you? I just said it. I said what I said. Like you guys know that I cook, you know, a hell of a lot, and, you know, like, but there are certain ingredients I don't like. Like I say, my friend Laura, big up Laura, loves sweet potato fries. Loves them. Loves sweet potato fries. I don't. Never in my life have Laura and I got into a physical altercation about the fact that I don't like sweet potato fries. Never has Laura called me a racial slur and threatened death on me because I don't enjoy a potato fry. And by the same token, I don't do the same thing to her about carrots. And I guess the difference is they're inanimate, but people are invested to the point of toxicity sometimes with these things. So, and also, because of the kind of echo chamber of how some communities can be, they don't get to spar. So they'll kind of go for the lowest common denominator on a spar. And I've noticed, especially as a woman, like, because as a woman, when you say about these things, you have these little debates, because you always do. If you enter the comic space, you will end up having the argument about this, that, and the other, and what have you. And films as well does this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kind of say, well, I don't agree because of A, B, C, and D, some prick will be like, well, that's because you don't know. Mm. So you have to then kind of put that conversation on hold and go, right, here are my goddamn credentials at, yeah? Because what it is they're feeling the burn, or they haven't thought of that. Now, the difference with that and us and our family, you know, our chosen fam, is that we don't need to do that. And we are also confident in saying, you know what, I haven't read that issue. Or, you know, I wasn't aware of that storyline. Or, you know, I wasn't. I don't have enough. You know, I'll come back to you another time on this. Let's put that to... Because you've lost nothing in that. But a lot of people don't have that ability because they always feel like, I've got to take you down by everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to end the conversation because they don't want anything embarrassed. It's like, I am the super nerd. And it's like, if you need that, okay. It's not limited to like the geek space, like comics, books, films, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a lot of things. It's just that it's more because of the nature of what we're into. And rucks happen all the time. People are, there's a lot of immaturity. And like, you people who are grown-ass people aren't mature in thought and expansion. So like, to you saying this reminds me of when we did Super Fight. Do you remember we played Super Fight that time?
Yeah.
Years ago.
Ages.
Oh my God. So those who don't know, Super Fight is like a tabletop game where you basically choose at random. Let me get this right. You choose cards at random, right? And then you basically choose like a person and a weapon, or two people and a weapon, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Two people and two weapons.
So basically, you get characters, you get three character cards and three item cards, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And then you choose which character will work out, and then after that you choose a weapon card that suits you, and then you choose a random card from the box,
yep,
item card to add to that character, and then you argue on why your character would win in a fight, realistically.
A lot of people need to play that game.
Yes.
Because a lot of people I feel like I'm gonna put down some controversy here and say, I think if you're gonna be in the geek space and stuff and argue about things, play Super Fight.
Hmm.
Because it helps you to formulate an argument and execute the argument and even get better the next time around. So the one I remember was it Kirby? Versus, was it Thor?
Yes.
Or no, was it Master Chief wielding Millennia?
Yeah, that's the one. That was the one, yeah.
So it was Kirby versus Master Chief.
Yeah, but it was Mjolnir. But it also had the Enterprise as well.
Yeah.
And Kirby.
And yeah, I remember, yeah, because I think it was ended up being me and you, innit, brother? I think it ended up being, it became like, and it was Mr. L, Goth Tone, on backup. And I remember, because like, you were like going to do this, I'm like, but Kirby's so stupid, it doesn't really matter. And Tony was like, that's absolutely true. Kirby is so dumb, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, basically.
And you were like, oh crap, because you had a whole theory and you were executing it. I was like, but he just would eat it. And
Kirby just eats everything.
Kirby eats everything, it doesn't matter. And you're like, oh. Mm. And nothing was lost that day, other than it's like, oh yeah, Kirby's, yeah. I think it was, we're not going to use Kirby again because it's just not going to. But that's just one opinion from, you know, because it's, and it's whole thing of I think also there are a lot of people in pain who are basically like, this is the one win of the day they need.
100% spot on with that comment, because it's you saying all this. How many times have we been at cinemas or in a comic shop and we've had these debates? And one thing is about us, and if I'm wrong, please correct us. Not being arrogant, but we know our stuff.
We've read
all the material. We've got the comics, even animated series and whatnot. And whenever every time someone had, oh, well, this ain't right because of blah, 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 we'll let them rant for nearly 10 minutes to turn and say, well, interesting, but if you've read A, B, or C, or issue 360, or issue 5, and blah, 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 blah happens, you might realise that what you're saying, which is a good argument, is wrong. And then that moment where it's that, oh yeah. And then they just humble themselves. But as you pointed out, I don't understand where this anger and toxic scene has just come from. Everyone can be right, everyone can be wrong.
It's just it's popularity, because obviously once upon a time ago, being a geek wasn't cool.
Yeah,
it was frowned upon. Yeah. Like you weren't like growing up in school as a geek, but in our day it was dangerous. So you know,
yeah, like, for real.
Yeah, like the irony of like being like bullied for being geek, but yet they would steal your shit. Like, wait, what?
People might think we're joking. Damilola Taylor died for less. Rest in peace, Damilola Taylor. Damilola Taylor died for less. Like, he died because he was a good kid who was geeky and was trying to go home. So when we say people literally will kill, well, if this shit is dangerous, we actually mean it. Shout out to Damilola every time.
And it's like, but like, as it's grown in popularity, I don't want to like hype us up, but we have become like masters in our trade. Basically, we know what we talk about. We're like, I got like,
yeah, Illuminati.
On that, Q Queen. Born to be kings. Princes of the universe. Anyway,
but it's a mixed bag, because at the same time it's like, I'm glad we're finally getting the recognition. I'm glad our stuff is in the forefront of pop culture, and everyone knows it, everyone's happy with it, and everyone's enjoying it like we did back in the day. But at the same time, it's like, why are you here? Why are you telling me about these things I know? It's like, I kind of get it in both sides, but at the same time, there's a way to act. Like, like, don't say it with your chest. Just, you know, just say it with the understanding and the ability to learn. Because I'm okay with being wrong. I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes. I don't remember everything, but I remember a few things more than certain people. Like, but there's other elements on that end. Like, for example, the anime community. Like, as again, I love anime, but certain anime fans can be a bit weird and a bit angry. It's like, you guys know I love My Hero Academia. It's probably one of my favorite animes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people are getting angry that two characters aren't gay, but they would like them to be gay.
Oh boy.
And it's like, but like, the writers have stated that they're not gay, and that he's interested in her, and this guy isn't interested in anybody, he just wants to get stronger and better. But But no, no, no. Like, and like, when you have an opinion on this match saying, but they're not gay, you like, there's this guy on TikTok who got basically like spam like reported because he basically said, well, they're not gay, you know, it's just, that's just the way they're written. And he got spam reported and his account got blocked for a few weeks. It's like,
you're joking.
Seriously, no, seriously. It's just juvenile and it's just
toxic.
It's very toxic. I mean, and there's nothing really else. There's another thing. There's this guy, I can't remember his name. He does little sketches on TikTok where he would like basically take the piss out of people who take that fandom way too personally. Like, he'll go after a certain criteria. Like, he calls like Batman stans, like basically Batman's people who idolize Batman to a point where he can do no wrong, blah blah blah, blah. And like, and these people go like, yeah, Batman solos everybody, blah blah blah, blah. He did a sketch and basically like counted the argument, because he plays both parts. He plays the Batman stan and the guy who just knows his shit and basically just says, yeah. And like, he does his own sketch, and then there's, and obviously with you can stitch videos and blah blah blah. This guy comes in like, if I saw this guy in real life, I would punch him in the face. And he goes, Batman solos the MCU, and I just went,
oh boy,
trigger point.
okay. Let me digest this for a second. So Batman, the man who has a mental disorder. Don't get me wrong, I love Batman to death, but let's be honest, he is mental. And he is at the end of the day human, a very, very skilled human, but mm-hmm. human nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Tell me, how does he solo Scarlet Witch?
Yeah.
How does he solo Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
How does he solo Spider-Man? How does he solo Vision? How does he solo Captain America? To be quite honest, like,
do they say these things just to trigger people because they know what's coming their way when they do it?
No. This guy in particular, he meant everything he said, and then when people started destroying him in the comments, basically saying, "So how did he do this? How did he do that?" Like, there's only so much prep time Batman has, man. I'm sorry. There's only so many time, so much time in a day. I'm sorry. And like, he basically disappeared from the internet after that.
Rude boy, the Midwich Cookers. Do we really want to go there? Like, Emma Frost can do all this like in 2 seconds. It doesn't matter the planning. Like, there's only so much planning you have in the face of flipping intergalactic nutballs coming down to fuck around and shit. Mm-hmm. So. That, and you know what? Like, I'm thinking about this as well. I feel like everybody goes through their toxic obsession phase because of being on the outs. And this is once again my humble opinion, and I have it. I feel like everybody on the outskirts has their, because they are outcast from the main. They've been told they are, something's not quite right in the way they look at the world. So they find this world, and it is just, you know, it literally is John Travolta opening up Marcellus Wallace's briefcase. It's the gold reflection. And you belong, you find your community. Everybody goes through their toxic obsession phase. This is my opinion. That no matter what it is, I don't care, you can admit it or not. The difference is that the outlets for the toxic obsession phase, obviously when we were coming up, there was no social media. So the toxic obsession phase is quite limited. We are witnessing in real time everyone's toxic obsession phases. And, you know, the whole thing with the internet's forever. So you're getting people like us who are kind of at a different point in this. We recognise the fallacies. We recognise what happens when we... And that's the thing. We've seen too many of our heroes fall, either mythical or actually real. I won't name some of the people, some of the writers that have fallen from grace, where they were top, and then out come the receipts, and you're like, you too? Oh, for the love of... Gee. And you have to reconcile that and deal with that. And so you, at this age, especially, you know, being in my 40s, it's kind of like, you don't know that everyone's kind of fallible. So it's kind of like, what can you reconcile with that? What we're getting is a lot of people who have become so overwhelmed with that feeling of belonging that they get to a point where it's like, and you can't fail me. And I think the best example of what we're witnessing is Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Mm.
That's what we're witnessing. Loads and loads of syndromes doing great harm without a thought past that point. Or that the people have moved on, or the storylines have moved on, or the characters have matured and responded. And, you know, and then it just gets, and all the other things that they're going through in the background, whether it's, or dealing with in the background, racism, sexism, misogyny, misogynoir, toxic masculinity, etc., homophobia, transphobia, comes out. It's just there beneath the surface. So you knock that and that all comes out.
Mm.
And I think, like, and what I'm thinking back to is our cinema trips over the years, over the decades. I can actually say the decades. When we went from the odd couple of us always doing some, always being there early morning or early afternoon watching these things, to the weirdos dressing up, laughing and dressing up in you know, thing for Matrix and X2, to literally like going to see Iron Man, being the people in the back, the last to leave, laughing and talking about, hey guys, imagine if we ever saw an Avengers movie. To waking up and seeing the Avengers movie and being overcome emotionally to see myself in a queue around the world. People like myself around the world queuing up like we used to. And the nature of those conversations change as well. That's what I'm thinking of, is the kind of like I've got to say, bruv's peak to me was Black Panther. That was church. People got taken to church that day. There was a reverence when bruv held the mic. So basically, we all went to, like, you know, and that's the thing. Obviously, you know, times have gone on and we can't all get together like we used to, but we still tried to go, a few of us, together to certain screenings. And obviously, Black Panther was really important for us to see together. And, you know, we're sitting there and then, like, bruv and I go, oh, that's, and people obviously overheard that. So when we were at the end now and looking for stuff, and then we saw little hints about what was going to go down later on, there was a few people who just hung back and started asking questions and started saying stuff. And previously, I don't know about you guys, but I found some of those people before had been in other screens, had been antagonistic. People like, yeah, that's all right, but from what I've read. And then brother would be like, yeah, but that's just one thing you've read. I've read this, and Ultimates, and that, plus that, and this too. And doesn't compare. Or it could do this, or it could do that. But, you know, I'm not the writer. And whereas later on, it's been a bit more, people have been like, so, you seem to know quite a lot. Tell me more. But I think it's a different audience. Like, people are a bit older with that. Mm. Just some thoughts off the... Just some thoughts I'm meditating on with that.
I agree, because I think back then, when we first started doing this, and you saw everyone hanging back, listening to everyone's different ideas and theories, everyone was kind of, they want to get involved, but because it was still too early, they don't want to seem too geeky, and they just want to sit back and just hear someone speak. Now,
That's the thing though. That was the best thing about moments. Well, watching films and talking afterwards. It was the conversation, the possibilities, the ideas. Like what could come next? What if they did this? What if they do that? It's like the what ifs, and like it used to be something special about that. And it feels like it's been replaced with just, yeah, if they do that, it'll be all right, and you know. If they do this, no, he's gonna win. No, it's gonna be silly. It's like, you know, like everyone's entitled to their opinion. Again, I've said it before. Like, for example, I probably will not watch Joker film because I don't want to know his origin. I don't think he should have an origin. I still think the idea of him coming out of nowhere and just being this evil thing that just caused chaos. That's my idea of Joker. I don't really want that spoiled. Nothing against Joaquin Phoenix or the film itself. I've heard it's really good, but it's just not for me. But the amount of people that have attacked me for having that opinion is baffling. I was like, let me just...
Really?
Yeah.
You see, this is what I can't understand. in life, you're not going to like everything. You're not going to fall in line to everyone's views. If you don't want to watch the film, don't watch it. You ain't got to justify yourself to anyone.
Exactly.
And even the joke thing on that is like, I end up quoting Biggie so much because people are like, oh, you need to watch it. I'm like, I've been in the game for years. Dumania, and I've seen stuff come, I've seen it go. Like, I've seen everyone embrace it, everyone backlash against it, everyone go, I don't want to watch it. And I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still strong.
All right, Antoine, calm down.
So in a way, some people are spoiled because they're like, well, now I've got to see Endgame and I've got to see Civil War and I've got to see that. And let's be real. Once again, can have another controversial opinion. It's like some of the DC offering does not compare to the MCU. No matter how you try and massage up that beautiful shit sandwich, it's shit sandwich it remains. Now it's coming up with some stuff. And a part of that is some of that is because there was an acceptance of that low-hanging fruit. Like, there was like oh, well, I'm not going to bother with that. Oh, we'll just do this. It's like, or we'll hurry it out. Oh, it's great. No. And it's like, I'm one who's always on this podcast and outside of it that, yeah, I like MCU, but I can tell you where the failings are. I can point out and go, that's where that's weak. There are some in there that I don't like. I'm generally like, nope, won't be in my collection. I'm not completionist. I don't need to see it. I'm not putting money to it. I don't want to. It's done. Whatever. But it's also that thing of... Okay, my point's a bit confused, sorry. But on the one hand, there are those people who've kind of got a bit spoiled by that. And we're a bit different in that thing because we have received it from a point of view knowing that it's like we've got a spotlight for a little bit and in a minute everyone's going to come down and go, I don't want to see comic book movies. And because they just dismiss it. And it's, in a way, I laugh when all these old heads come out and they dismiss it. Because it's like, you've been doing this for ages. This is nothing new to me. Because all it is, it's back to the whole Neil Gaiman thing about the gatekeepers are leaving their gates. But they're not leaving quietly. They just want you to shut up and consume their stuff, you know. And at the end of the day... I think those who kind of have come up with that as the standard with those MCU movies are kind of like a bit, I'm almost waiting for the bit when it falls out of favor.
Yeah.
And they've got to do without it for a bit. And then it's like, oh yeah, this is what you had. It's like, yeah, this is what you had. We don't have it now. Thanks. And cool. Whereas for me, I'd be like, yeah, that's just how it goes. It comes into flavor. Everyone's like, that's amazing. I love it. Then they're like, oh, super, I'm sick of it now. I don't want to see it no more. And then it just becomes, you know, a few tinier movies, a few interesting projects, some TV stuff, mayhaps. But then I don't know what it looks like in a Netflix subscription world. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I knew what that looked like in the previous iteration. So I think there's so much...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah! What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Going on. With that and the responses from the fans them as well.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I haven't seen the Batman yet. I will see the Batman eventually.
Mm.
My husband and my daughter are like, yeah, I was,
seen it.
Yeah. 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 It has. I literally came into a conversation when they were discussing the sound of the Batmobile, so I just left because that was a 15-minute conversation that they were having. And it needed rum because I was just like, uh-huh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm glad. I'm actually glad that it seems and sounds like an actual decent film. Just like, bruv, I like Batman. Hashtag Michael Keaton forever. But I'm glad there's a decent Batman film. You know?
Whoa. Okay.
You sound offended. Are you offended?
Yeah. What? It's a decent
Batman film. What's up, big man?
Right, a decent Batman film. So I know where I'm going with this.
Here we go. This is what I wanted.
Yeah.
Dance.
Take
out dance.
Christian Bale. Right.
Yeah. Go on then. What about it? Or take out or put in. Say, let me let you talk. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let him talk. You had your time. Let him talk.
Take out Christian Bale for obvious reasons. What was your view on The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises?
Yes.
Complicated. Very complex. Okay. Here are my upfront opinions about. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to say it. To me, there are only three Jokers. There are only three Jokers, as far as I'm concerned.
Better say the right ones, is all I'm going to say.
Okay.
There are only three Jokers.
Better say the right ones, is all I'm going to say.
Jack Nicholson.
Right.
Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Hamill.
That's my girl. There we go.
What you guys going to say, Jared Leto? What you guys going to sit here and say that madness?
Okay, I don't, okay. You're not high, so it's fine.
Yeah, I mean. I'd more call him, what's his name, Cesar Romero than
I think you. Some reason I thought you were going to say him, so I don't know why.
My opinion is this. This is it. Like I said, there's only three. Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, Mark Hamill. That's it. We live in an age now where not only do we have TV Batman and anime, what have you, we have video games, which changes the game.
Yeah.
It changes it in a lot of ways because... And this is why it does impact on the Nolan series. It's because for the first time, you're not observing Batman. You are Batman. You're observing through those games to be the greatest detective. So it changes what comes out after it. Especially when they brush up, touch upon, or use the good work done by the animated series. You know, and a lot of animated... You know, Batman the animated series is not held up enough as far as I'm concerned. It's just not. It should be. And the fact that Mark Hamill has gone on to do those two things that have impact speaks for how important it is. I always put Jack Nicholson up there because it was a kind of thing. It was almost like you had to be there. It's like, it's like playing Orange Box. You kind of had to be there. You can go back and watch it and go, oh, okay, cool. But you kind of had to be there to get that feel. And it was just a heavyweight production.
Fun fact. Did you know Jack Nicholson got paid for Batman and Batman Returns?
You lie. Really?
He's a ridiculous thing where when he made the first film, he's got like a contract where he got paid or some type of royalty or something like that.
Yeah, basically, he said the only reason why the first Batman did well is because he was in it and people knew his name, blah, blah, blah. He said the only reason people are going to see the second one is because of him. So he deserves to get paid more. That's how his agent worked his contract. So he got paid for both films, even though he wasn't in the first one, second one even.
Paid in full.
Mm-hmm. talk about knowing thyself. Anything.
He's not ramping.
He's not ramping. Do you know what I mean? To to kind of see the Jack Nicholson one is to kind of see a there is a rushness about it where it's like this is a kind of a gothic in progress Joker who is dealing with first stage anarchy. And that's what I like about it. That's what I think that is. And there is that, you know, and also the whole thing of laughing through the absolute nastiness of what's happening. You actually miss how bad it is, especially on repeated viewings. Let me bring in Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger is the GOAT. Because there are so many scenes that are comparable to Batman. And funny enough, I think, brother, we were talking about this yesterday, my husband as well. We're talking about the avataristic nature of Batman from in the Nolan series. Is that the issue in the Nolan series is that all the antagonists are better than the protagonist, and all the other things that are good about that, about the people who are supposedly good in quotes, are actually aspects of Batman that should be contained into one person. So Alfred is like, I am your conscience. And has, you know, the best bars. Lucius Fox, you know, there's all these external, Jim, there's all these externals that have to do much more work because Bell's shit. And all the other, the point of the original villains in that is held up throughout all of the series, which is that you are not in this. You don't do it. You're not committed and you're full of shit. And that doesn't actually change from beginning to end. And everyone goes on about the ability, about the whole putting it in the real world. And I do get that. I do understand it. It's a good, an interesting experiment. Blown to smithereens by an amazing performance of Heath Ledger. And for that reason, there's a lot more work to be done to kind of capture that. And it does depend on the director as well. But that's my opinion, is that, you know, I mean, there are weaker out there, but in, you know, that it's more, I find myself liking all the villains in the Rises series than I do. And I'm standing behind Bell's shit. Bell is a stock clock is right twice a day. So like my husband, I've been saying, I think Bell's two good performances were Empire of the Sun and American Psycho. That's it. And everything else is just more arsehole-ism just for the screen.
You know what? Interesting. Because although you do make a very good point, and I know, bruv, you're smiling about this. Because
I'm actually not smiling. I'm actually intently listening. I'm genuinely enjoying this conversation because it's actually a good conversation. So
yeah,
this is how it should be done, people. Take notes. Is.
No, and that's the thing, because the way I'm on the flip side, a Bell fan, with most roles, I will give some performances are over the top, and there are some which go underneath the radar. But Empire of the Sun, totally agree. Yeah. American Psycho, everyone knows I love that film.
Yep.
I'd have to say an added film to that list is The Fight Off with Mark Wahlberg. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I have.
That's one you, I think he actually got the Oscar for.
He did. Right?
I thought he acted his ass off in that film. And one of his best performances. But obviously, I know.
Sorry, big man, say it. Sorry,
no.
Go on.
I know you're so against with it called Bale. I know it was hard for you even to give him those two film props.
But what, no. Strep sore throat Batman? What the actual look?
I knew
I just can't.
I'm not gonna. First and foremost, okay. Well, I'm literally in the middle. Like, because like one, I agree with what Chantel's saying, and two, I agree with Big Man saying. I genuinely think, like I don't dislike Big Bell's performance to the level Chantel is. His voice was terrible. I'm not gonna lie. Like in the first Dark Knight, you didn't really notice it as much because he wasn't doing it as much. But the last two, oh my fucking god! I mean, the part where in Rises when he got ghosted by fucking, I'm not even going to call it Catwoman. He got ghosted by Hathaway, and he went, "Ah, so that's what it feels like. You're by yourself, you idiot. Why are you talking like that?
That's what it feels like. What?"
That's a pet peeve. I'm gonna go. All right, I still like when it comes to questioning about, I like most of his film. I like most of his performances that I've watched. So, American Psycho, Shaft, fucking Equilibrium. You know, those are my
Equilibrium. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Because you're bitter. But anyway, that's
completely. Yep.
There you go. But when it comes to my opinion, when it comes to the Nolan films, again, it is basically grounding Batman in reality, obviously in the real world crisis with real world criminals who don't have these overly outlandish abilities or things they can do. They're just people who have had a bad day, basically, when you think about it. And Chantal's right. The way they did their Batman in those films, he wasn't a committed Batman. The man was ready to drop everything at the drop of a pin for Rachel, when realistically the Batman that we both know knows the mission never ends. The mission goes on. End of story. Every adaptation I've seen of Batman, be it animated, be it comic book, be it the mission goes on. And yeah, Christian Bale's Batman or Bruce Wayne just needed a good counseling session. He would have been fine.
Also, as well, like, I mean, man was looking to drop the whole thing from the first 45 and did not stop for the rest of the other two movies. But also, as well, I think I said yesterday, is the parts where they kind of show the Bruce Wayne is basically like somebody saw Red Ultimates for a bit and was like, oh, we should be out Tony Stark. It's like, oh God, no.
When you see like Tony Stark, what do you mean by that exactly?
So there is a scene in, I believe it's the second one, where he comes into the restaurant and he's got the girls swimming in the thing. And he has to... Sorry?
Okay, so it begins. Yeah.
And he just... The girls are swimming in the pool and stuff. And he's... It's just, to me... It was very, I mean, I, on the one, it's kind of like, I am drawing everyone's attention. It's like,
But to be fair, I don't agree with that. That's Bruce Wayne. The whole idea is, like, if anything was accurate to the comic books of how Bruce Wayne's depicted in the eyes of society, that moment was. Because at the end of the day, he is a playboy. He is a billionaire playboy bachelor. And that's what he does. In the early comic books, he was doing that left, right, and center, and he had a reputation for being a womanizer. He had a reputation for buying restaurants out at front just to prove, because that's the whole idea, is to portray that demeanor and keep it as far away from being associated with Batman, even though Jim Gordon in the comic books didn't fall for that. But so I can't agree with you on that ground, sis, because that's just Bruce Wayne.
Which isn't fair enough. I guess my thing with Bruce Wayne is one animated series, some comics, and a bit more Michael Keaton. So it's that whole thing of, and there are a lot of people who do associate Bruce Wayne with Tony Stark, and I've never liked the analogy, because I'm like, they're two completely different characters. The thing that they have is, yes, their dads are dead, sorry, their parents are dead, and they're rich. That's where it begins and ends. That's it for me. It's like that's where it ends. They're completely different characters.
But I say, to be fair, like, they're not that far from each other, because at the end of the day, the major difference between Bruce and Tony is that Bruce's parents died in front of him at a young age. Tony had plenty of time with his family, with his parents, until he was in his teenage years. In most deathmatch battles, they are the ones that go up to get each other the most, to be fair, because they are quite similar to each other in those. They both have brilliant minds, but obviously I would still say that Tony is slightly smarter than Batman, but who am I to say that? I'm just, but anyway.
I think Bruce Wayne is more has more emotional intelligence than Tony Stark.
Big time.
Much more emotional intelligence than Tony Stark. But what I will, oh, can I just say, this is my other thing, controversial. I don't ever want to see Thomas and Martha die again. I'm done. I could do without it. The two things I don't want to see anymore. I don't want to see Uncle Ben. I'm just about sick of With Great Power Comes Great Responsibility, and I really am sick of Thomas and Martha. Martha.
Yeah.
No.
In all fairness, if a character is already established in modern society, there should be no origin story. That's the end story. Like people, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, those three definitely don't need an origin story. I'm okay with Wonder Woman because she's like, other than the TV series, anime, and one film, cool. Characters like that come out now makes more sense. But like, I mean, like, I feel like now we've seen Iron Man and you're going to redo it, don't do the origin.
Don't do the origin.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I will say. That's a brand new character. Yeah, Hulk, we can see.
Yeah, Hulk too.
Because to be fair, in The Incredible Hulk, he didn't get an origin. He got clips, but not enough to like, not a full blown.
Unless you link it to the Ang Lee atrociousness.
That's why I said The Incredible Hulk. I don't know why you brought that one up. I'm confused to why we went there. I went Incredible Hulk. Why would you do that?
I'm
actually quite confused to why you did that, sis. I don't. Did I insult you last night? Did I offend your honor?
I'm sorry. It's the call of the killer poodles.
Again, poodle? Why are we still there, sis?
I'm sorry.
Anyway, moving on. Before we.
I didn't mean to anger you.
Moving on.
Okay.
We'll talk about this later. Moving on. I'm telling Jason. You won't. Anyway, moving on. How do you feel about the current state of things when it comes to both MCU and DCEU, in your honest opinion? Because I feel, especially with DC, I think DC have actually made a lot of improvements to their current story. I say thanks to the Suicide Squad mainly. And Peacemaker, definitely. They're on the right trajectory to actually being consistently entertaining now. Because, I mean, like, okay, I haven't seen Wonder Woman 84 yet. We'll probably watch it at some point. Okay, that noise does not really feel me confidence.
Did you pull your back again? Did that make you pull your back? Are you okay, big man?
Okay. Right, okay. I'm in pain.
I guess we're all owing apologies after this episode.
You know what, brother? I'm gonna be honest. When it comes to 84, if you're really bored and you got 2 hours 45 minutes that you want to kill, do something else. Leave that as the last result. Yeah, I'd rather, and I can't believe I'm gonna say this, watch the Inhuman series. Yeah, then watch that.
I still need to watch that
and I gave up after episode 2, but yeah, this film was extremely painful, but everyone has their opinion yet again, so you might get, some people don't, it's an open discussion. But as far as my back, yes, that did pull mentioning that film, but we move.
With how Shazam was, how Shazam came out, which I thought was pretty good. I was quite entertained by Aquaman. The Suicide Squad was awesome. I would say it's probably their best film so far. And the Peacemaker series was amazing. I have nothing but good things to say about that. So I'm actually quite looking forward to watching the Batman. But I know there've been delays for the rest of the DCEU films. I think they're in a good place. I'm actually quite happy that they are.
They're much better. I mean, I'm not going to name names, but I remember there's someone who I spoke to a while ago, which, you know, you always get that one person who, when they introduce themselves, they speak about their so-called knowledge of the MCU or DC.
They're an idiot.
Yeah, and it gets better. That's what a little bit of sense. And I thought, you got a lot of potential. Then they said the one sentence, and I thought, okay, you've just completely, there, we're done. This person said, and I quote, and I'm going to stress to everyone, don't shoot the messenger, because when I heard this, I'm like, yeah, I can't have a conversation with you. That the Suicide Squad, as in the original Suicide Squad, is a better film than the first Avengers.
And okay. Okay.
Wind up. That's a wind up. That's a lie. That's a wind
okay.
up.
They okay.
said that straight face. Yeah, when I looked at him and went, "You mean for real?" Yeah. I said, "Okay. Just name me five reasons." They couldn't name me one. Conversation was over after that. I thought you had a lot of potential and then you just blew it.
See, like, I remember, I'm not going to say this guy's name because this is a person I grew up in school, secondary school with, and he bumped into me while I was still working at FP. And we were talking about comic book films, blah, blah, blah. And at this point, I think, if I'm mistaken, Civil War had hit and a few other things. And we were talking about that, and I can't remember which film he said. I think it was Man of Steel. He said, "No, it was Batman. No, it was Batman v Superman was a better film than Civil War."
What?
I was actually quite respectful. I went, "Then we can't talk." He goes, "Like, what do you mean?" I was like, "Well, there's nothing you can say that I will agree with when it comes to comparing Batman v Superman." Versus Civil War, because I've seen both versions of that Batman v Superman film, barring the actual fight between Superman and Batman and the takedown in that warehouse by Batman.
Love that scene.
Yeah, there's no point having a conversation. And he goes, "You're being a bit silly." And I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm being honest." Like. Good, dude, it's good to see you and all, but I can't talk to you about this because you cannot say anything that I will agree with. I will not, there's nothing you can say to me that will say, "You know, you got a point there. Try it." And he tried. I was like, "See, I don't agree with you. There's nothing we can talk about now. There's literally nothing we can talk about." So, I've got to get back to work. I'll talk to you whenever. Take care. And I walked off. And I may have come as disrespectful, but I was just being upfront because I can't, again, you're entitled to your opinion, but then when you can't give me a reason for this belief, I mean, I just couldn't have a conversation with him. It might be, I could come off, considering what we're talking about, I could come off as a bit toxic, but.
It's not toxic. He didn't cuss his mum. Like, you didn't go, fuck, like, suck your mum out. You're like, you didn't do that. Because that's the thing, like, the older we get, real talk, the older we get, I ain't got time to have these pointless conversations sometimes.
No.
Some of them I do, but if you make a statement and when it's like, there ain't nothing you can say, then why are we talking? Like, you're not open to what I've got to say. It's like when my previous workplace, this guy I speak, who I was talking to about stuff, was talking about the Matrix trilogy. And he didn't get it, kind of, but he didn't watch them all. So I lent them to him and I was like, okay. And I explained certain things to him. He was open to that conversation. I explained how I felt about it and why I felt the way I did. And that's the key thing. Whereas when some people are talking and they're like, "No discussion, it just is what it is." It's like, well, then nothing to talk about, is there really? Like, if you're going to come and say, you know, "Suicide Squad's great, done, at me." And it's like, no, I'm not at you. Because I don't have the time to talk about it. If we're going to have a discussion about, like, "Oh, let's talk about the greatest scene and so and so and so and so. Or why the Cornetto trilogy is the way it is and what's great about it." If you're going to come tell me space this crap, done, and you're out. I'm like, well, then we're not talking
about it. You know what, right there, yeah.
Situation of war, isn't it? You've declared war. Like,
I will get that,
that's it. So, and like, I mean, it is a joke we're saying about toxicity, but like, you've basically said there's nothing that I can say to you to enhance that discussion, show you a different way of seeing things, or bring perspective to the conversation. So, why are we doing this? And if your thing is to have a hot take and you're still gonna go, "Yeah, but it's rubbish what you're saying," then there's no point in us talking. Is there? You're wasting my time. Chicken needs eating. Things need seasoning. Jollof needs cooking. What is going on? I don't have the time. But if we're going to have a healthy, like last night, bro, we were talking about, what's my opinion?
And I think that the comfort is with you guys is we like when we say it, all the other things are inferred. Like when we say, like, that's my opinion is inferred. We just kind of say, well, I think, blah, 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 blah. And there's no offense meant because it doesn't end with suck out your mama at the end or something. Mm. Like, it just doesn't do that. And that's the thing. And I get with that. When you're going to be, as I've said, yeah, I like MCU. I can tell you all up and down the fact where it's weak, where this doesn't work, where that is. But I'm also open to hearing different interpretations of things because I don't know it all, as you've said, bruv. But when you come with, like, blind strippiness, like, it's like you come and saying to me, what's Martin Scorsese's last thing that he put out? That last thing upon Netflix.
Mm.
If you come and say that that film is better than Goodfellas, no discussion. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of things you are, and I'm going to be insulting. So let's just end the conversation.
I would never say that. I would probably say something like, Howard the Duck was the greatest comic book film ever made.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Yeah. And you go, done, period, end, done. Mic drop, and walk out. It's like,
nothing to say. Yeah, that's what I thought.
What crack is he smoking? But oh, okay, fine. You know, or something like, oh, yo, the hot take. Oh, what's his name from Baywatch?
Hasselhoff.
Yeah, Hasselhoff was the best Reed Richards. Like them mad ones. You're like,
Oh god. He was Nick Fury. Chill.
I'm sorry, he was Nick Fury. My bad. You know,
he would actually hot take. I think he would make a good Reed Richards. What do you think, big man?
Oh, now you.
Wait, isn't that a thing going for that in Krakow? What's his name doing that from The Office?
What, what's his face? Krasinski?
Yeah. Oh, Krasinski. And Krasinski.
It's rumored, but no one knows.
It's rumored, no one knows.
I don't know how I feel about that. Anyway. I think a lot of people do that thing where they shut down conversation because they don't want their opinion to go through the ringer. They don't want to have to. And that's the thing, like, in a weird way, I slightly get it, but it's immature. So, because it's like back to, like, you like what you like. When you go, yes, you can say, I just like what I like. And that's, that argument, you can't really argue. It's like, I just feel like my whole body, that just... I feel that in my soul, there's nothing I can really say or do about it. But I think a lot of us, especially as nerds and geeks and blurs, etc., we do interrogate a bit more. So when someone comes in and is like, this is the greatest comic book of all time, done. You're like, we're naturally going to go, compared to what? Why do you say that? Compared to who? And bring in, what? All of it? All of, like, gold, all of Silver Age? Really? Like, our brains can't help but go there. But I think a lot of people who quite are, like, as we said, they're in that first stage of toxic protectionism, then they don't want that. And they take it so personal, they will literally be like sending you death threats because you said something, you know, or because you changed it. And it then you take into this thing where they go, well, this is the perfect iteration of that thing and nothing else can touch it. I can't even deal with a version of it. Not at all, ever. You can't change that. That's what it means to me. But there are some people you can't argue with. And why should you? You've got cookies to make.
No, and that thing, and the grand scheme of things, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, by all means, as much as we've had many discussions, there are bigger things going on in the world at the end of the day. But yet, situations of about casting, is this guy good? I've seen it on Twitter, I've seen the fan base, I've seen the comments, I've seen someone basically recently kick off about if Idris Elba gets Bond, then I'm done with the Bond franchise. I'm like, look, I'm cool with Idris as an actor, but for Bond, no, and it's not a kind of thing. I just don't think he'll make a good Bond, that is all. But the way this guy was going on, you would have thought Idris owed him £5 from back in the day that's mounted up to 50 million, because he was going, because of this, he played a character in The Wire as a dealer. So what? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Barbara Broccoli's going to pick whoever she wants. Deal with it. Move on.
Truth is that the thing we're not saying is that a lot of people come into fandoms and they use it to play out their most awful fantasies of exclusion and being the way that they were treated, they want to treat others.
Mm.
That's the real. We've always encountered those people who are just like, it's my turn to exclude you. It's my turn not to be on the bottom. It's my turn to, you know, to be in that position where I can exclude and say, no, you don't get to have it. And there's not really much you can do in the face of that, because that's not been my experience.
Yes, there is. There's plenty you can do about it. At the end of the day, because I ain't going to end on that note. I'm going to end on that as rise above it. At the end of the day, you know where you stand in life. You don't have to have conversations with these people.
And no, you don't.
If you have the ability to, walk away. Delete those comments. Because at the end of the day, don't give them a platform to talk to you, especially if it's your platform. Don't give them chance. Because at the end of the day, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but you don't have to listen to it.
Not at all. You can just go off and get some chicken.
Exactly.
Or KA. Little dumpling, you know, little cocoa bread and patty and everything there, you know? Do you know what the mad thing is? The mad thing is that next week is my turn, and the weird thing is Brother and I doing that synchronicity thing is, so it may seem like it's actually themed to this, but Brother and I can confirm we have not discussed what I'm doing next week.
Nope.
But it weirdly is linked to what I want to do. So, yeah, keep posted. It's really funny that we've gone this route. But once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for your time and your ears. Feel free to email in, to email us at stjudesavengers@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on the Instagram, which is messed up pod on Instagram, on and messed at Twitter. Like I said, not going to do a toxicity though, because that delete button is a ting and minad wheat. Bruv, what's your socials?
You can find me on YouTube under Instant Classic Gaming, where I'm currently playing Elden Ring, and we're coming close to finishing the It Takes Two series we started with me and my sister doing.
Oh,
and you can also find me on Twitch, Instagram, and TikTok under Instant Classic _gaming.
Big man, what you got?
I'm on Twitter at War3782, and you can find me on the gram at Mr_Roberts_V1.
Thank you very much for your time, your ears, and everything else. Stay safe out there, people. And we're just here to bring you a little light in these dark and mad times, yeah? Take care.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.